on trade and economic development. And today is a Friday. It's the last day of the week. And then the 21st, 2005. We are going to have an informational meeting today. And today we have a director of OECD, and glad to have you again here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And then Dalton Hobb, administrator of the Agriculture Department. Please give regards to the Katie Cobra, the director. I have known her a long time since she was working at the governor's office. Today is the international trade divisions. But apparently the Mike Doyle, the division, we call it director, how do you call him?
Mm-hmm.
The person is not available today, so instead we have that the Mari Brantley, the director of the OECD. So with that, and who wants to begin first?
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you again for having me here this morning. The international division is part of our overall economic portrait of the state, and in fact, as you are well aware, that we are an export state, and it is extremely important that we pay attention to the international part of things. So my testimony today will be to try to describe a little bit about the international structure, what we do, how we're doing it, our objectives and goals, and a little bit of how we interrelate to the businesses that want to export and, in fact, contact the people in foreign countries to try to equate them with Oregon and how to bring them in, too. We are in a bit of a transition as far as that particular department goes, and we will probably be in that transitional phase for the next 2 or 3 months. And so I think it's entirely appropriate to invite all of you as we go through this transition, reevaluate what we're doing, how we're doing it, and to seek your advice as we go through this too. So for the record, my name is Marty Brantley, Director of Economic and Community Development, OECDD, and I appreciate the opportunity to appear before the committee today, this morning, and to provide an overview of our international division. As you requested, Mr. Chairman, I propose to address the following during my comments this morning. An overview of the economic relationship of trade to Oregon's economy, the International Division's mission, the Division's strategy and its objectives for the coming year, a review of the Division's organizational structure, a summary of Oregon's balance of trade, for example, a review of our total imports and exports, and finally, a review of our key partners on the international trade front. On the first section, the relationship of trade to Oregon's economy, Mr. Chairman, before I move to my overview of the division, it's important to understand some basic information about the importance of international trade to Oregon's economy. Here's some quick facts that I think are pretty important. Generally, exports create jobs, raise incomes, and provide the quality of life for all Oregonians. I'm providing you with a fact sheet provided by the Port of Portland, which underscores this point. Also in your handouts is another fact sheet showing the economic importance of Oregon's other Columbia River and coastal ports. Because while the Port of Portland receives lots of attention, in fact, the other ports are extremely important and are economic drivers in our state also. Oregon consistently ranks among the top 10 states in the United States in U.S. exports on a per capita basis. 25% of Oregon's manufacturing jobs are directly dependent on export activity. 20% of Oregon's jobs are indirectly dependent on international commerce, and Oregon's export sector offsets seasonal fluctuations in domestic demand. The continued advancement of globalization trade agreements makes it essential that Oregon's companies be positioned to compete in the future. In the first three quarters of 2004, Oregon experienced an $8.4 billion activity in exports. On an annualized basis, That would put Oregon's estimated 2004 total export activity at $11.4 billion, which would be almost $1 billion more than 2003's total. Oregon's International Trade Commission was created in 1995. The Oregon International Trade Commission is staffed by the director of the International Division. The Commission collaborates with public and private entities on matters involving areas such as planning and policy initiatives relating to international trade. The Commission's 17 members are experienced business people representing leading firms in the international business community, as well as OECD's Commission, the Port of Portland's Commission, the Executive Board of PNIDA, and the Board of Agriculture. Members of both the House and Senate participate on the Commission, and a page is included to show you the membership of the Commission, and it's attached for your review. I should pause here just for a second to indicate to you how proud I am of that 17-member commission. We reconstructed it about 6 months ago, or perhaps a year ago, and it has been particularly active in trying to define a mission.
Please hold. And
members of the committee, Representative Butler is your ex officio member on that International Trade Commission, and I did want to interrupt so that I could say what we have a communication from Representative Butler, who is sorry he can't be here today. He's had the flu. He did mention that the International Division has his full support and accolades, so I have an email from him if you would like to see that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah. May I ask who is, Mr. Chair, who is the senator?
I'm sorry?
I can't remember who the senator is.
Who is the senator that's a representative to this commission?
You know, I'm spacing off right now. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I'll get that information for you right away. I am proud of that commission. It has been particularly active after a relatively inactive time. They have held meetings around the state and with ports, trying to identify and acquaint themselves with the particular issues of the regions and trying to figure out how they can interrelate that to the international side of things. So they have been active, and Chairman Ron Reagan wished to be here also today but was unable to make it also. The division mission and budget, was created in 1995. The International Division's mission is to assist Oregon businesses and industries to enter, expand, and diversify their overseas markets. The division also works to position Oregon as a reliable trading partner and a location for foreign investment. In your materials is an organizational chart showing the division's current structure. And again, we're currently reviewing this whole structure right now to see if we are identifying the right places to go. And we're just in the start of that process. I think it's important also to indicate two factors that we need to address. One is the export equation. Are we helping Oregon businesses enter into new markets or expand into those new markets? And are we also then contacting foreign countries and acquainting them with the advantages of locating in Oregon? And so there is a two-pronged effort that we need to do in terms of international. Also in your materials is a summary of the division's budget, both the legislative approved budget and the biennium, as well as a recommended budget. As you can see, the division's budget is basically flat. The 05 strategy objectives. To support the International Division's mission in 05, we're pursuing the following objectives. Number one, in China, we're working with the Oregon Department of Energy, Portland General Electric, and the Shanghai Energy Conservation and Supervision Center in transplanting PGE's Earth Advantage program to China. When constructed, the center will be a showplace for new technologies that will utilize less energy and cleaner forms of energy, lowering the stress on the environment of China's rapidly growing economy. The short-term benefit is the development of marketing opportunities for Oregon products and services to China. This concept is also one that can be transferred to other provinces and metropolitan areas in China and to other countries for implementation. A very initial discussion of this transferability is going on with both Taiwan and Thailand. Objective number two in Thailand, we're collaborating with ODOE and the Thai Department of Alternate Energy Development and Efficiency on a project utilizing $150,000 U.S. Asian Environmental Program grant through the Council of State Governments. The project has three prongs: to work with the Thai government on the development and implementation of an energy tax credit for its manufacturers, to promote the development of renewable energy sources and related technologies, and to promote green building technologies. Again, beside the market development aspects of this project, the concept is transferable to other portions of Asia where industrial growth is damaging the quality of life. And objective number three, we also are working through the Department of Innovation Division, along with the Open Source Development Labs, or SDL, on projects in Europe that have the potential of positioning Oregon in rapid growth to open source software development. This initial stage of this process will occur in March, and I'm delighted with the possibilities that we have with open source right now. It is a very promising area. Oregon's international trade partners. Using O3 data, the following table lists Oregon's top 10 trading partners. And again, I think that you can see on your handout there that we have listed both the exports, the percent of Oregon, and the percent of the United States. A very impressive number if you look at the total amount and the number of countries there. In conclusion, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that is a general overview of the departments of the International Division. The basic information I provided you shows how important trade is to Oregon and to our people. The question before us now is, what are the next steps in positioning Oregon to compete and succeed in the globalized economy in the 21st century and beyond? In the coming weeks and months, I'll be talking to you and your colleagues about in the legislature as we begin to answer this question. It's my view, in a climate of likely continued limited resources, that we'll need to sharpen our focus and set forth renewed priorities. We've already begun that discussion with the governor and his staff and the leadership at the Port of Portland and with the business and community leaders. I look forward to working with you on this effort. I should perhaps interject one last thing as we look forward, because I think that we need to do a few things in the immediate time, and we're going to be taking steps for that too. We need to work closer with the Port of Portland and the ports in Oregon itself. We also need to work a little closer with the Department of Agriculture and our shared objectives with both of those areas. And we also finally need to bring the private sector into this. We have some wonderful private sector people who are already in many of the countries that we want to address, and we're really not tapping their expertise. Our first step was the International Commission, and as you can kind of tell, we have some very experienced and good people on that International Commission. So we've taken some of those steps. We hope to take some of those other steps in the very near future in defining what our common cause is and where we can overlap with the port, with the private sector, with agriculture, and with other entities in order to kind of drive ourselves forward. So, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the panel?
Okay. Vice Chair Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you again, Mr. Brantley, for being here. I appreciate that. I notice on the list of the top 10, really the only, the only European country on here is Germany, and I realize there's some ownership in the Portland area. I think it's with Gunderson. Maybe I'm mistaken on the company, but with Daimler Chrysler and there. How would you analyze our efforts in Europe and our things, obviously we're on the West Coast, so that, you know, puts us in the Pacific Rim. But how could we expand? How could we improve our trade relations with Europe? Is there a way, or are we so geographically removed it just doesn't make sense at this point?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Boone, thank you for that remark. I have been to Germany three times, I think, in the last couple of years, and there are huge possibilities, I believe, with Germany. So not only is there Donnelly Chrysler who we visited, but there is also a Siltronic possibility. They have a big presence in Portland also. There is a possibility that they'll enlarge their plant here, and obviously Lufthansa Airlines coming directly on a nonstop basis into the Portland International Airport is a huge factor too. Those load factors, quite frankly, in September were about 94%. So while they will be cutting back, as I understand it, during the winter time, again, there is huge possibilities for us to expand. I think in my travels with the governor, and I don't want to speak for him, but he too, I think, is excited about that possibility. One of the things that we wish to explore is it worthwhile to actually set up an office in Germany? We have trade representatives right now that have offices that are based in the UK, but have offices also in other places. But it's worth considering, I think, if we want to extend ourselves out a little bit, to consider that possibility. So the answer is there are possibilities how to tap into those.
And can I have a follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up.
Follow-up would be, and you mentioned the governor. How effective, I know the governor has taken some trade trips, and I think, in my personal opinion, those are hugely effective. In your opinion, are those the most effective way to enter new countries, if you will, or to expand in existing countries that we do trade with? Do we need to expand the governor's role in making these trade missions?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, the use of the governor obviously is extremely important. He represents the state, and it puts an exclamation mark, quite frankly, in my opinion, on a visit. And so when he is anywhere, that is a very, very important tool to use. It's just a matter of time and allocation, quite frankly, and there's a lot of different countries that would like to increase their conversation with us. We have somewhat limited resources in order to do that, and that's why I think that one of our objectives in the future here is to be defining X number of countries, whether that be 4 or 6 or 7, and then concentrate on those countries very hard, and then identify the subgroups that we can perhaps interface with those countries, and then make sure that we do a good job with this. This is not going to be something that I'm going to be able to come back to you and report X number of jobs in 6 weeks' time. This is a long-term relationship that we have to build up, and we did this in the 1980s, as you might know. Chairman Lin is very familiar with our relationship with Japan at that particular point. And Japan was in an export mode, exporting their technology. And we were fortunate enough to have a number of people in the right place to take advantage of that. And we realized, I think, over $15 billion of foreign capital coming into the area. Those times have changed. The people have changed. That export philosophy has changed. And Oregon, quite frankly, isn't in that prime position anymore. We need to reestablish that and kind of look to see what we can do. We can't be all things to all people, but we can, I think, line up those things that are unique to Oregon and are important to those countries and say, we can do this. And that's what I think our job is for the future.
Thank you.
Representative Dallon.
Thank you, Chairman. Marty, I think we got I have some product-specific questions. The Vice Chairman was interested in marketing. I'm looking at product. I think we have to celebrate the export of wheat. It's way up. And that brings a smile to my face. One of the things I'd like to ask about, is there a market for more wood and wood pulp? Or are there other things that are keeping that market suppressed and headed in the other direction?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dolan, I'm the first to tell you that I'm not the expert on this, and so I will give you just my impressions if I could. I think that there are some possibilities of that, but it is, we're also facing some pretty tough current coming downstream too. So I think that there are some possibilities, but there are some significant challenges that we have to overcome in order to do that.
Anything this committee could do, I would be more than happy to do. Then I don't see fruit, tree fruit listed, pears, apples, cherries. Is it because they're not a significant part of the total export, or...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dolan, perhaps the distinguished gentleman on my right will address that when we come to the agricultural side of things, but I think agriculture has its challenges too. A very, very important part of our export side of things, but it is a very challenging time right now. You might have read in the paper in Mesa a sugarcane plant that was being closed down or limited. It's not being closed, but the number of employees are cut back. And primarily it's due, I believe, to the world market of where we are. I talked to the chairman of the board there last week when I heard rumors about it. And indeed, I think that there are significant growers in South America that are challenging that plant. That is just symptomatic, I think, of where a lot of the fruit people are going through. But again, Dalton, I'm sure, is going to address that.
I'll do a little bit of patience.
That's it.
Thank you, Mary.
Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stanley, going off what you said just a few moments ago about playing to Oregon's strengths, one of my constituents returned from a trip to China recently with tremendously excited about the potential and the fantastic growth of that country. And I'm not sure if you're aware, there's a bill that's been developed through the Senate called Quality Jobs in the Woods that is an effort to put our expertise in our forest practices to use not only in our state but for possible export to other states. And I'm wondering if there's any discussion currently about taking our expertise in our forest practices and exporting our expertise to a country like China, which is in need of what we've learned in the last 150 years of managing our forests.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Buckley, China comes to everybody's fore. Obviously, it is a huge, huge giant out there economically, and this is just my personal philosophy, is that everybody is courting China right now and has for years. And in my opinion, we're probably behind in that courtship. I think that the state of Washington with Boeing has been in China for a long time and has established relationships and all. But that's not to say that we shouldn't do that. But again, I think that, as you point out, one of the subgroups might be that. One of the subgroups might be, as we pointed out and talked about, the sustainable energy. That's something that that Oregon does well. Its reputation is very strong that way, and that is perhaps one of those areas that we can say we do that and we know how to do that. And the wood product side of things might be one of those too. That's the process that we have to go through, quite frankly, and we have to go through it rather quickly because the world is changing rather quickly and we're a step behind right now.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Marty, a couple of questions. In this trade chart on, I'm not sure what page this is, third page, the Philippines are included. When we spoke, you know, in January 14th, they were not a part of our current top five. Have they dropped out?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, I'd have to check and I'll get back to you on those figures. We got these from the port yesterday, and so I will get back to you if that's all right. Thank you.
Hope not, anyway.
Yeah.
Because the previous information, if I could continue, I think was more current. It was also inclusive from 97.
Okay.
But it would be interesting to know. I hope not. And the follow-up question, please, Mr. Chair. You know, 30 miles from here, we have the aviation company that was awarded the first freight license, air freight in China, Evergreen International Aviation. A company that's worked in 178 countries. And on this advisory committee, I mean, they can tell you the balance of trade without statistics, you know, depends on the load and those freighters, those 747s. But I see that we, on the International Trade Commission, we don't have any transportation people. And in a publication I was reading very early this morning, and your picture was in it.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, it said the number one problem in any kind of trade in Oregon relates to transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, shouldn't we be working on that? I know about 10 years ago, I visited with whenever Governor Goldschmidt was here and suggested that we turn the Port of Portland into an intermodal hub, since that's my background. And then we met up with him in Taiwan. I don't know whatever happened. We were courting Evergreen shipping lines at that time. No kin to Evergreen next door. So I just think that, you know, it would be prudent that we decide how we're going to solve the transportation problem for freight in this state. Also, I was reading on the agricultural side early this morning on the very same issue, and it was trucking was a big issue. There's a lack of trucks, a lack of truck drivers. So if we're going to stimulate trade from this committee, I suggest we work on transportation. I hope you'll help us.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, Del Smith is an old friend, and I meet with Del and Maria often. So I'm very familiar with their efforts and their success. The chairman of our international group, Ron Reagan, is also a very good friend of Del Smith's, too. So there are ongoing conversations with Evergreen Airlines and where they are. And there are some possibilities of future work with them, too. There is no question that transportation is a huge issue. You all will be weighing in, I'm sure, on the Connect Oregon aspect of things, on the transportation issue, and I think you'll get an even bigger picture of what are the possibilities that we have as a state. And I will let Dalton talk about the agriculture and transportation, just to say that last 2 weeks ago the governor and I visited Reesers, and that's the end of the agricultural side of things, but their big plea to us is help us get truck drivers. They're good paying jobs, very good paying jobs. There are a lack of truck drivers right now, and so you're absolutely right, Representative Nelson, that is something. The governor actually suggested and put Al Reeser in touch with the National Guard, because a lot of our people that are over in Iraq are in the transportation and driving vehicles, and when they're coming out, they might appreciate the fact of having a job available. So there are some things that are going on to try to address that situation.
A final question, please, Mr. Chair. Can you expand this trade commission? Are we restricted to the number of individuals?
I think that's the 17 people is the allotted number, I believe.
Okay, so transportation is out, right?
Well, the Port of Port is an ex officio member, and they weigh in rather regularly. And again, transportation, getting goods and services to market, is just real basic. I mean, it is something that comes up all the time. So it is not an ignored subject matter.
Okay, and then could you tell me where the budget is for the? It said that the budget for this
division
is here, and I don't find it.
And I looked through it too, and I didn't see it here in my papers here, so I apologize for that remark. We'll get that to you too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Marty, as a representative from the heart of Washington County, I'm of course interested in what part information technology and nanotechnology plays in our trade balancing, and where do you see that going?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Riley, these figures I believe are correct figures, but I mentioned to you last week about our manufacturing sector and how important that manufacturing sector was and how that distinguishes
distinguishes us. About 36% of that manufacturing sector is in fact high-tech technology. So it is a huge portion. About 33% is other, and then everything else falls down the line. So by definition, it is a huge factor in terms of our manufacturing. Almost all of that is in the export side of things. So it is absolutely critical. We wouldn't have the $16 billion worth of investment, I think, in your district and in others if we didn't have good transportation systems. But that's just one piece of it, but it is a huge piece, as you can imagine.
Thank you, Marty. I just want you to know that if there's anything that I can do to further this discussion and where we're going, please feel free to call on me.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and Representative, thank you. I really do look at this as a very, very important exercise that we're going to be going through to try to define things, because we can't keep zigzagging back and forth. We have to set a course and then start our relationships and keep to those relationships, and I'm going to need your guidance and help on that, so thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Nelson.
Thank you. Marty, also, can we know somewhere how many individuals have been employed in this segment of economic development? How many do we have employed in these different categories? Also, I'm curious about how many jobs have we jump-started in the last, two bienniums through increased exports. I think that's very critical.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, we'll get that information for you. But as you can imagine, if you're looking at $1 billion increase in exports, it is rather significant. And so as we go through this, we'll do that. We're an export state. We have 3.6 million people, something like that. We need to export in order for the health of our state, and that's the bottom line of it.
One last question, please. I never know how to say this. In some way, I think we need to prove that, we're being responsive to the various regions in our state. And I'm just wondering if we could break down these exports by region to see what business is coming from what segments of the state, or is it all from the beautiful Willamette Valley and few potatoes from south, or just cherries from Washington and trucks from Portland? I'm just curious if we could get kind of that category, demographics of our exports and imports.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, I think that might be kind of fascinating for you, because there are some very interesting subgroups that are involved in the export area. I'm thinking, for example, in Medford, there is a cluster of helicopters that are designed to fight fires only, and there's four or five companies now that are employing a significant number of people that export all over the world to fight fires. They convert Sikorsky helicopters into these large firefighting machines, and it's pretty fascinating. And Evergreen Airlines is developing some models along that same line. So we will try to get that information for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I just want to apologize. I worked for them for 24 years, so I don't want you to think I'm setting you up.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
Any questions from the members? If not, I have a couple. Could you expand a little bit on the sustainable energy while you're talking about in China? What's the sustainable energy, and what product could we sell to the China?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that opening, if you will, because as we discussed, I think that everybody is realizing the potential of China, and I think that it is important to acknowledge what their economic power could be in the future, as well as other countries in the area too. a lot of people are knocking on China's door. A lot of people have knocked on that door far before us and have those contacts. But so do we. We have some very good companies that have been involved with China. But I think it's appropriate for us to say, what are the goals of the state? What are we trying to do as a state? And what are we really good at and unique at? And then court other countries, including China, and say, we do this very well. We have the intellectual capacity, we have a track record, and we've done this. And the sustainability side of things is, I believe, one of those things. About 5 years ago, I was in China with the mayor of Portland at that particular time, and even then, China was suggesting that their environmental concerns were a major concern to them. And I had mentioned to the mayor that that's one of the things that we ought to be able to do. Again, our vision, our message to the world is that we're an environmentally good state, if you will, and that's something that I think that we have a head start on. And so we have pursued that a little bit, not nearly to the degree that we should, but a little bit. And we do have some relationships starting with the Chinese government. We need to enlarge those and see if we can't magnify them larger. At the same time, we do have an increasing interest in sustainable energy and sustainable energy in particular right now, both in fuel cells as well as wind. And it's interesting to see interest from foreign countries and foreign companies begin to coalesce in and around the Northwest. And I wouldn't say particularly in Oregon, because Washington and Canada are also witnessing these same conversations. And we're in competition with them, quite frankly, in order to maintain our head there. So it is something that I think that we need to pursue even more and go after. And hopefully that might be one of the subgroups as we go through.
Okay. And another question I have, you mentioned $11.4 billion that we are exporting. As a matter of fact, what products is from our state, or what product is just passed through from our port? Are you talking that? Could you give us some explanations how that $11.4 billion consisted of?
Mr. Chairman, I'll get those figures for you. I don't have exactly those figures themselves, because I don't know, for example, we have a substantial port, an expanded one with just Toyota, has expanded their facilities here, bringing cars in. Those cars are put on rail cars and shipped through, and I don't know the figure of rail cars versus other types of things that will come in, but we will get those figures for you.
Okay. Could you provide it to the members?
Absolutely.
Committee. And then at the beginning you mentioned that the international trade division is in transition. And what does it mean, that the transition?
The International Trade Commission?
Yes.
And
you're talking about the Commission or International Trade Division?
I'm not sure what I meant. I'm sorry?
Division.
The division. And the tradition of the division? Was that the question?
Transition.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The director of the international group is leaving, and we will be soon looking for a new director of the international division. And with that, it's the appropriate time to look at what we've done, what our plans are for the future, and to try to engage, if you will, a larger group of people. And that larger group includes the people in this room, as well as the governor has a real interest in it, and the private sector. Again, I think for the most part, the private sector can provide us with a tremendous amount of expertise that we really haven't tapped into. I would hope also monetarily that there is a role for the private sector to help contribute, because we are in a time of difficult finances, and we're not going to be able to grow like we would all like to, and I hope that there's a role for the private sector to do that too. So again, the private sector, the port, agriculture, just all getting together and saying, this is a direction we have to do. There's a tremendous amount of interest on everybody's part to do it. I believe there's an absolute acknowledgement of the importance of international. We just need to sing off the same page.
Mr. Chair, would it be possible to ask for a list of the exporters and the importers by a volume, and we could get a broader view of what companies probably are in our areas that might be involved?
I think that's the possibility.
Thank you.
You think you can get some
of Mr. Chairman?
Still?
Yep.
All right. Hold on, please.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question, if I could ask it.
Hold on a second, okay? I'm not done yet.
Thank you.
I know you are not the director of international division, but we'd like to know more about the office, international office, such as in Japan, in Korea, Taiwan, plus any others, and then what they are doing and how they are effectively working. And then are we going to expand the international office? Are we going to shrink it or keep it as it is? And we'd like to know. I think this is a very important aspect. I'm wondering, and could you answer the questions at this time, or you'd like to come back sometime in the future with the answers?
Mr. Chairman, if this pleases the Chairman, let me talk about the structure where we are right now. I don't believe that I'm in a position to talk about the future where we need to go, because I really do intellectually need to tap into a lot of different people and say this is the direction. It's not for me to decide that. So if that's okay with the Chairman, that's what I would be happy to do. I would also like to add that I apologize, we left off Senator Decker's name off of our international commission. He's our ex officio senator, and Senator, excuse me, Representative Nelson, that's a name you could add. Thank you.
There's a good administrator here for this committee you already gave.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You're good.
It was your assistant.
Great, Aaron. Thank you.
Thank you. If you refer to the international division, if you will, the chart, you will see the flow chart of the International Trade Commission, and underneath that is the director, the former director, Mike Doyle. That position is currently open. And then in our office in Portland, you'll have the next strata of people, if you will, going from the right, Mr. Burke, Junichi, Sunan, the people there, they all are divided into areas, geographical areas. And so we have China, the Americas and Africa currently represented, Taiwan and Southeast Asia, Japan and South Korea, and Europe and the Middle East. Those are all represented out of the Portland office right now. There is a support group over on the left-hand side, if you will, and then on the right-hand side, a little bit towards there, you have Ogawa-san, who's a director of a Japan office. And so we do have an office in Japan. It is, I believe, a very effective office, one in which I think that we need to utilize even more. But I think that we have had a lot of good response from our Japan office, if you will. In addition to that, we have a group that represents us at the very bottom of the chart, Mexico, Korea, United Kingdom. That's Representation Inc. That is a group that represents ourselves as well as other states. And they represent us, generally speaking, I would say around the world, but in those areas. So when people in Oregon want to open up a market, want to expand, it's to Rep Inc. that we go to and say, help this company, if you will, get exported, get the knowledge base that's needed in order to get into that particular country. In addition, they will sometimes, with our conversation, we will say these areas are important to us. Let's just say that it might be biotech. That's important to a certain group of industries. And then they will identify sometimes some international conferences that are important that we have a presence in. And we will then notify those particular hospitals, pharmaceuticals, whatever it might be, and say, this is a pretty important one. Do we want to have a booth there? Do we want to have a presence there? And in cooperation with them, try to forward, if you will, Oregon's message as to why they ought to be located here, too. We do also have an office in Taiwan. And that office is similar to the office that we have in Japan, and it helps us in that. The question for the future is do we need more offices, as Representative Boone suggested we might look at, in terms of Germany or Europe or South America or Canada? There has been some active conversations most recently about Canada, and the ambassador has visited Oregon recently and suggested that that's something we ought to consider. Where we are is, again, we need to step back and look to see what we do and what we do well, and just really put a business plan together and just say, okay, with X amount of money, $3 million on a biennium, 3.2, 3.4, it's 3.2 right now where it ends up. What can we do with that amount of money, with what our demands are, and where we need to go on a longer-term basis? Is that the answer that you needed, Mr. Chairman?
To some, but we will expand.
Okay.
For that issue.
Mr. Chair.
Hold on 1 second. During our private conversation, possibly you mentioned moving the international trade division to the port area. What is the situation at this time, and why you're planning to move? Is it going to be more effective? I believe the office should be located in the central area of Portland, but I'm not sure whether you have enough justification and they're trying to move that to the Port of Portland.
Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, in previous discussions with the chairman, I said that we were looking at the possibility of moving to the port. That in a step of 1 through 10, I think that we are at phase number 2 or 3. Yesterday we visited the offices for the first time just to see what they could offer. There are perhaps financial considerations that might be some cost savings. There are some operational things that perhaps might come about, and that would be that there's sometimes the Port of Portland would need our services more directly. Among those have been cited or some expertise in languages in which we could participate in some of the meetings, and some of our people speak different languages that might be helpful in that. In conjunction with that, it might be helpful also as we try to align, if you will, where we're going to go, that maybe some of our contracted services could be more tightly bundled together. The port has its own agenda and should have its own agenda, and we have our own agenda, and sometimes they're the same and sometimes they're different, but my sense is that a cooperative discussion could be helpful there too. But we have not made that decision at all. There are some other things, some drawbacks to that, including the one that the chairman mentioned, and some others. So we are at the initial stages of that discussion right now.
Okay. Maybe could you clarify, maybe I misunderstood. When you're talking about moving the office, possibly Port of Portland or Port of Portland office in Chinatown area?
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's the Port of Portland building in the Chinatown area.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's
that's
on.
More like.
Yeah, it's on First and Everett, I believe. And that would be that they have had some reductions lately, and they have available office space, and so that's the area. And I apologize
thank
for
you
not making it clear.
That. Yes. Okay. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the imports page, export imports, I am astounded that we're not getting product from Hong Kong. So having been in the freight business for, many, many, many years, usually, those planes are chock-a-block coming this way. But for us not to be a port for them, I'm just curious if we could find out some reasons why we're not. What are we not doing? Everything goes into New York and then is trucked here. Or if we, what are some of those reasons? And then when we look at Mexico, which was an issue when I served as the vice chair of ag, that's a one-way route. And for agriculture, those were trade agreements that need to be strengthened. Because we're importing product that we don't need. We can grow ourselves in many cases. But for some reason, that trade agreement keeps us working that area. So that's the balance. That's the wrong balance going the other way. And then Hong Kong's just the opposite. So I wonder if we could know what the cause is, or is it the trade agreement itself that is the problem? I would appreciate knowing that.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, many of your questions deal with the port, and it might be that a presentation in conjunction with us with the port might be helpful also, and because we will get that information for you.
Okay.
But we obviously need to work real closely with the port in order to get a lot of this information too.
Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question. Mr. Brantley, you mentioned the need to develop a business plan, and I think that's a fantastic idea, but what timeline are we looking at? When can we expect to see the plan for the immediate future?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Buckley, since the resignation of Mr. Doyle has just taken place, we have a meeting on the 28th, next week, I believe, to discuss all of this. Again, there has been active discussion of the need to, and now we're there. And as I envision it, as we appoint a new person to head up, that will be part of our discussion. I don't know the timeline. I hope that there's interest, and I think there will be, in that job. I don't want to presume to tell that person what they need to do. I want to foster ideas from them just as well as from you all, too, to say, what do we need to do? But sooner rather than later. I mean, again, we're late already, and so we really need to step it up.
Mr. Chairman, follow-up?
Follow-up.
We have had a plan. Michael Doyle had a plan, didn't he? I mean, before he left.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dallum, I have. I think that every governor comes in and asks for a plan, and I think, as I understand it, Governor Kitzhaber asked for a plan. As I understand it, in fact, I know Governor Kondrowski asked for a plan. I think it's unclear as to what that plan was. There are elements of it, I think, that are very clear. I think that we responded very clearly to a lot of the businesses in Oregon that needed to export, and I think we've done a good job that way. I think that there's work to do on our relationship with governments and people in other countries and our contacts with them in order to sell Oregon for them. And we need, again, the private sector involved in that. And I don't think that we have done a particularly good job in that.
We haven't had a plan, but we're going to have one.
Well, that's right.
I'd be most interested in seeing the plan.
Yeah, that's just what we were talking about.
Yes, thank you. What kind of a time? Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Follow up. What kind of? Representative Buckley and I were looking at a plan. When will we be able to look at one?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dallum, again, I need to get a director in, and as soon as we get a director in, we can say, okay, these are the parties that we need to engage in our conversation, and we will do that. And it is extremely important that we do that, and that we do that quickly. I don't know how quickly I can hire somebody. I don't know how quickly I can get these very busy 17 people assembled and broken into subcommittees and say, okay, are we expending our budget right? Are we expending our $3 million biennium right? Or should we scrap the whole thing on a plain piece of paper and start all over again? I don't know what countries they want, or the governor wants, or you want right now. All those things are going to be done. But will it be done by February 1? No. Will it be done by March 1? Probably not. But believe me, it is important to do this. We have to do it. It is a vital part of our economy.
Mr. Chairman, quick comment. I would suggest you hire Representative Nelson for the job, and it will be done by April 1st.
Okay. All right. Any other questions to the... Okay, if not, I just have one comment before move on to the Dalton Hobbs. I requested that Mike Doyle, the current director of International Trade Division, to come and testify before our committee, and we were not able to successfully to get him. I think he's duty to come, even though he tendered his resignation, and it is not the best interest for the state and for him that he's not able to come. As long as he is under the payroll of the government, he is obliged, and deeply regret that he was not able to join us this morning. I do not understand that the full reason why he hasn't come. That's my one thought. Before we move on, I'm hoping that if we want to continue to prosper, we need to diversify our international trade, not only to the Asian countries, mostly we are doing, but we need to expand worldwide, including the Europe, even Africa, many other countries. And when we diversify our international trade, the chances are we are more secured instead of depending on 2, 3, 4 that the highly trading countries like Canada, Japan, Korea. They are the major partners, but we need to set the directions that worldwide aggressively in the future so we can get a more better share. And one concern I'd like to just mention at this time, that the office in the International Trade Division, even that as it shows here, Korea is a number 2 trading partner according to the 1993, but there is no Korean speaking representative in the office. I think we should designate one person at least to Korea and one in Japan. Of course, it depends on the amount allocation, but I'm hoping that you and the governor's office request, and that way then we might be able to fund that. So I believe trade is getting more important, getting bigger, and as you already mentioned, that the trade is a very important part of our economy and employment. So I'm hoping you look into that area. So we are willing to work with you in that matter. So if no further questions at this point, then we will move on to the Department of Agriculture, Dalton Hobbs. Before I do that, I'd like to recognize the Katie Kober, the director of Agriculture Department, and this old friend of mine, and glad to have you with us today. Okay. Thank you.
Yovaseo, Mr. Chairman.
That's good.
For the record, I'm Dalton Hobbs. I'm the Assistant Director of the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and must request the indulgence of the committee. I had a wonderful PowerPoint presentation to show you today, and for some reason the technology just broke down. I had our information people come by and pick my computer up, and they're trying to get it to work. So absent of that, I will try to prepare. I'll try to give my remarks from the top of my head.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you. Mr. Hobbs, it is so important that we get written testimony. I mean, I love the PowerPoints, but there's nothing like having the data, so I hope you'll help us.
I will help you in the future, and I apologize for that.
Yes, please provide the copies to each member of this committee.
Yes, I will.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Send to me now. I'll just...
Okay, before you go on, Jim, you are going to make a word.
No, it's okay.
It's okay now.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to mention that you can send information to me and I'll distribute it to
you. That's fine. I'll have it for you this before lunch today. I think the remarks that Marty made were very, very important in terms of laying out the importance of exports to the Oregon agricultural community. In Oregon, at least 40% of our total agricultural production is exported. And that means well in excess of $1 billion. I think it's safe to say that without agricultural exports in this state, you would not have a Port of Portland looking the way it looks now. The largest single export by volume at the Port of Portland is agricultural. Tonnage-wise, it is a significant percentage of the cargo that moves out through the Columbia River. And it is what really lays the groundwork and ensures that we have a transportation infrastructure that allows export of other products. Single largest containerized export out of the Port of Portland happens to be hay. Hay that at one time we just burned down here in the Willamette Valley. Now it goes to markets in Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and even increasingly into China. So we've taken 1 million metric tons that normally would go up into the atmosphere. We've turned that into a merchantable product, put it into a container and sold it into these places. This creates a tremendous amount of cargo that helps continue to justify the use of the Columbia River as a navigable stream and makes a case for dredging and continued operation. In terms of our markets, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and China are really the principal export destinations for Oregon agricultural products. Japan, we've been working there for at least 50 years, maybe more, starting originally with wheat, when the Oregon wheat farmers, Katie Koba's dad and others, went over there right after World War II and opened that market up for the consumption of wheat for noodles. And Japan still is our largest agricultural trading partner, although it is a mature market. And one of the things we found in Japan is we always need to continually kind of reinvent new tricks, new approaches, new products, etc. One of the things that we're working on right now at the Department of Agriculture is, for the first time ever, we will be developing a direct response marketing channel through home shopping networks on NHK in Tokyo for high-value Oregon agricultural products. And what this will allow is small to medium-sized exporters get into the Japanese market without selling a whole container of products. We can put together a consolidated container of jams, jelly, sauces, etc., and sell them through direct response marketing. Oregon's the first state to do that, and I'm proud that our staff was really the one that pioneered that. I think these are the kinds of approaches that we need to be taking, working smart as well as hard in places like Japan. At the same time, we've kind of got some back-to-the-future things that are happening in Japan. Oregon, because of its very good management of its developmental species, has been able to rationally develop the sardine fishery off the Oregon coast. 50 years ago, Oregon was actually a very large producer of sardines, but because of El Nino and cyclical ocean conditions, the sardines disappeared. Well, about 5 years ago, they returned. And as it turns out, the sardine fisheries in Japan and Korea were poorly managed, and so they fished their fisheries down and now are sourcing frozen sardines from Oregon that are now being shipped in block frozen containers and then are canned in Japan. And so there now is a very nice high-value canned sardine product that is being sold in Japan and Korea from Oregon sardines. This has spawned a tremendous amount of activity and interest down in the Port of Astoria. The Port of Astoria, I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to be down there recently, but they have turned a once vacant lumber exporting dock down there into a very active fish processing facility, and are now in the just about ready to commence construction of a cold storage facility, which will allow us to store the large volumes of sardines that are harvested down there, as well as albacore tuna, salmon, crab, etc. So at one time, Astoria was a huge canning center. It is now a huge sardine processing center for canning, and we hope at some time we'll actually be able to bring that canning back to Oregon. And indeed, next week, Senator Lim, we have some investors coming from Korea that are looking at investing in additional seafood processing on the Oregon coast. Astoria will be one of the locations that they'll visit. And this would be the second Korean firm that's invested in our seafood processing infrastructure. 2 years ago, a company out of Busan invested, Mr. Lee, and is now very successfully operating a seafood processing plant in Charleston. Last month, he exported 100,000 pounds of frozen Dungeness crab, specifically processed for the Korean market. So Japan, again, is a very mature market. We've got very good experience there, you know, but we're always trying to recreate or reinvent new ideas and opportunities there. I think the most interesting market, and I'm not saying this simply because of Mr. Lim, but it certainly is Korea. Korea is actually our fastest growing market from the standpoint of new products and new opportunities. The Korean won is very strong right now versus the U.S. dollar. And also, the Koreans did the hard work during the Asian meltdown to basically get their economy in order, and so now they're actually in pretty good shape. And we're starting to see tremendous amount of interest in higher value Oregon products. We just shipped out last fall one container of Oregon wine to a buyer in Korea. We'll be shipping out the third container, 40-foot container of wine to Korea. Now, Korea is a place where you can buy a bottle of wine with a cork in it for under $1. These are wines that are coming out of South Africa or Australia. But I'm happy to report that the wines that we're shipping are in excess of $10 per bottle, and it's because the Koreans appreciate and are willing to pay for the quality of Oregon products. We also last fall had fall of 2003 had the beginning of what we had hoped to be a very interesting string of exports, where we exported 800 head of Hereford steers to both Incheon and Busan, Korea. We loaded these cattle on board a specially built ship in the port of the Dalles, actually went through the locks at Bonneville Dam, and then the ship then moved down the Columbia River, discharged cargo in Busan and Incheon, and after 90 days, a cow that lives in Korea actually becomes a Korean cow. And so the importer there was using the good genetics that we have here in Oregon, feeding the cattle, the steers out there, and then he can sell them as Korean meat in the Korean market. And as you can imagine, just like here, people like to buy local. And in Korea, they were able to buy local, although the cow was born in Oregon, the steer was born in Oregon. Unfortunately, about 2 months later, BSE was discovered in a single dairy cow in Washington State, and that was the end of that project. That notwithstanding, there is continued strong interest amongst that importer and others in Korea for recreating this if and when the U.S. Department of Agriculture can develop the protocols to get our products exported. So Korea is a fascinating market for us. It is one that is very powerful, and I think it's one that the state of Oregon needs to continue to devote resources and effort to, because it is a place that has delivered very, very well for Oregon agriculture. The third market of importance to us is Taiwan. Taiwan is a market that is often overlooked in people's haste to get to China, but Taiwan is an extremely good market for value-added agricultural products, huge importer of wheat, Korean or Taiwan flour millers are very good customers. They're cash customers for our wheat, and we've been selling down there for a long time. Thanks, Marty, to the good work of the State of Oregon office in Taipei, Jesse Lin down there. We've done some very innovative things there as well. Working with the 7-Eleven stores, we put together a direct response gift order pack of Oregon Dungeness crab, where people were able to buy Dungeness crab through their 7-Eleven for close to $100 per piece. That's one crab that they'd order on the internet, and then it would be fulfilled. They go down to their 7-Eleven store and pick it up as a gift. Believe it or not, in Taiwan there's 3,500 7-Eleven stores in an island that's about the size of Western Oregon. So Jesse Lin and the State of Oregon office there is very important to us in that regard. We've also been selling a lot of wine down there, thanks in part to a relationship that we developed with Jeff Singh. And Jeff Singh purchased 3,000 cases of wine last year. He's on target to purchase 6,000 cases this year. And he's been a superb export customer for our higher-end wines. I'll conclude my remarks with some discussion about China. State of Oregon, Oregon Department of Agriculture, has been active in the Chinese market for at least 25 years. ODA was probably one of the first agencies to go over there early on to explore opportunities to sell Oregon grass seed. We went out on the steppes in the Inner Mongolia to sell grass seed out there. Found out then that it didn't work very well, but learning the lessons that we learned there, Oregon developed itself into the single largest exporter of grass seed to China, where last year we exported close to $12 million worth of grass seed to China. We have about a 70% market share in that market. Building on this, the Oregon Department of Agriculture is now working very closely with municipalities, the Bureau of Land and Resources in China, to export Oregon nursery products. And Director Koba last fall had the good fortune of being in Beijing for the ground opening, the groundbreaking for the Oregon Garden, which is about a 15-acre test demonstration garden that is being built at the Beijing Botanical Garden. And this is a permanent facility which will demonstrate the utility and the usages of Oregon nursery products. And we feel that many of the concerns about environmental sustainability, urban beautification, erosion, etc., can be resolved through the utilization of not only Oregon nursery products, but grass seed products in combination with the very good technology that we have here in terms of deploying these to prevent soil and water erosion, etc. So there's a very good synergy that can work between some of the environmental engineering, Marty, and some of the raw materials that we export to China. Take-home messages for us are that exporting for Oregon agriculture is critical. We could not conceivably consume what we produce in this state within the state or even regionally. It's absolutely critical that Oregon maintain its offshore offices for our agricultural exporters. They provide a tremendous amount of presence. And hopefully, Marty, you'll be able to find some more money for our very important Korean office to ensure that we have that presence, because Korea, Taiwan, and Japan are absolutely critical to the future of Oregon agriculture. And I apologize, members of the committee, that my PowerPoint presentation didn't work. I guess they bought it back, but it's too late now. And I'll make sure that you get a hard copy of it. And thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. So any questions, I'd be more than happy to respond.
Representative
Darlin? Yes, I have two, if I may.
Okay.
In Oregon, if we're going to deal in the markets you've referenced, we have to, I understand, customize our products. We have to provide the kind of wheat that Japan, Korea, China want. We have to provide the type of fruit that Japan, Korea, the Philippines want. We have to provide the type of cattle that they want. They have to be fed and fattened in the appropriate manner. How does this information get from your office, or that market more specifically than your office, to our producers so that we might tailor our products to meet market demand? How does that work?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Dallin, we're very fortunate in Oregon to have a strong commitment from the state to have a staff of professional trade managers in my office who work very closely with the production industry as well as Oregon's 28 commodity commissions to impart this information back. And we are in continual contact with the production side of Oregon agriculture through the Extension Service, through the commodity commissions, and directly to the food processing companies to keep them aware. At the same time, Oregon has invested in the Food Innovation Center in Portland. This is a joint venture between the state of Oregon Department of Agriculture and Oregon State University, where we can take the latest value-added technology, the value-added strategies, and so on, and bring groups of folks in, producers in, for meetings, seminars, etc., where we can keep them apprised. And I think we do a pretty good job of that in terms of telling them what the latest specifications are, etc. Finally, the state of Oregon also, the Oregon Department of Agriculture also operates the Export Service Center. This is the first facility of its kind in the United States, which is actually a licensed customs testing laboratory for the governments of Korea, Japan, Taiwan, China, and several European nations. And we can provide scientific certification for Oregon agricultural products in advance of exporting so that they are not delayed or hung up in customs on arrival. So it's a very impressive integrated system of where we can get this information back.
Let me back up on that system. I come from way downstream. It leaves my house district 59 as wheat, as cows, as cherries, mm-hmm. pears, apples. We're losing our extension agent. Our extension office has been hit very hard. That is the only point you mentioned of dissemination for information that exists in House District 59. So my question to you is, with the loss of the extension agents, how are you going to get this information on the ground? Now, the pipeline sounds well-defined, but getting it on the ground to producers concerns me deeply. How are you going to get this information into my district when the primary agent for dissemination of market ideas has been the Extension Office, and now virtually gone?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallum, I think you're speaking of a very serious concern, and that the Extension Service for over a century has provided exactly this kind of service, and we are going to have to get smarter. We're going to have to get more efficient where we see erosion of local extension services locally. And by that I mean better utilization of the internet, teleconferencing, and working through grower-shipper groups and trade associations such as the Oregon Wheat Growers League, commodity commissions, etc. But as you mentioned, this is a very big concern that we share as well.
Then another opportunity that comes from House District 59 was shipping cattle. The second question, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much, was shipping cattle from the Dalles. The LCD was certainly an issue, but we would like to look at that as a collection point for Central Oregon cattle. I think the whole thing went very well. What other problems were there besides MCD?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallum, I think the biggest problem obviously was the BSE issue in terms of onward shipments. We feel that live animal shipments, livestock shipments out of Oregon could be a significant future opportunity for us. One of the things that we need to take a look at, though, is increasing the capacity for our quarantine facilities so that we can have efficient collection of animals, have them quarantined in appropriate ways to meet the standards for the importing countries, and actually upriver in dry areas such as the Dalles, Port of Morro, etc., seem to make a lot of sense in that regard. China, at the same time, is also interested in purchasing dairy cattle for herd improvement programs over there, and we would estimate anywhere between 10 and 15,000 head annually could move in both China and Korean markets as a live animal. So we'll continue to work on that, but we need to work locally as well to ensure that we have the infrastructure and working with Marty Brantley's regional development officers, perhaps to take a look at some of this kind of old technology, but nonetheless important technology.
I would certainly be willing to bring you those that would be interested from my district. So if there's an opportunity to develop live livestock shipment direct from the dry region of the state, I will help all I can.
Thank you very much.
Any questions?
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Vice Chair Bruin.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Hobbs, for your presentation this morning. My district, which is primarily Westland and Tualatin, and is not known as a huge agricultural district. However, in our district and close by as well, we do produce a lot of Christmas trees. And I want to ask you about the current state. My opinion is we seem to be fairly bifurcated on how we manage that. Am I wrong in that analysis? And is there room or areas for us to coordinate more of our small growers, small Christmas tree growers, to get a better presence, not only exporting within the rest of the domestic United States, but also exporting over overseas?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Bruin, at the risk of sounding like everything leads back to Korea, let me say this about Christmas trees. 3 years ago, we began discussions in Korea with exporting of Christmas trees to Korea. As you know, Korea is largely a Christian country, and because of that, they celebrate Christmas. The use of live Christmas trees is almost unheard of in Korea because during the conflict in the 50s, many of the trees were cut down for fuel, and trees are something that are very sacred. In fact, Chairman Lim, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's actually against the law to cut a tree of any kind in Korea. So even if you wanted to, you couldn't do it. Well, Oregon has obviously a great deal of capacity in that regard. One of the things that we need to work out, and this is why it's so important to maintain this kind of infrastructure in place, is one of the things we need to work out is a shipping protocol with the Korean government which will allow the shipping of Oregon Christmas trees, which are in effect a live tree, even though there aren't any roots, but they're viewed as live from a phytosanitary standpoint, so that they can be imported easily or efficiently into Korea. We've actually worked with several large churches in Seoul through our office in Korea to begin this process. And so I would hope that next year we'll be able to actually get some Christmas trees over into the Korean market. But Oregon has got all of these site one growing areas, and we're very, very efficient in producing Christmas trees. And certainly don't discount Representative Bruin, the nursery industry that's out in your district as well, because that's a very important part of your district as well. So thank you.
Okay. Representative Buckley first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hobbs, thank you very much. And probably just to clarify, in this committee, everything does go back to Korea. I just want to make a couple quick comments. First, thank you for the presentation. I would encourage you, do not be shy about trumpeting the successes that you've mentioned today. I think they're fantastic. The fact that one of my constituents sent me an article about the grass seed market in China and the cooperation between the Oregon Seed Council and OSU, and how that has led to a tremendous economic boom for our industry here. Mm-hmm. And this is news that needs to be trumpeted over and over again. The fact that you've developed innovative programs such as the Direct Buy program for Japanese consumers is fantastic. You can help us make the case that by investing in research, by investing in our higher education system, every dollar we spend to higher education has a payoff for the Oregon economy. I just encourage you to help us make that case loudly. Never stop. Every day. Keep it going. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Buckley, sign me up.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hobbs, why did you think Chair Lim was concerned about Korea? Just kidding. Okay. I recall hauling Christmas trees to Japan substantially, and I wanted to let Scott, know that Evergreen, we've moved vast 747 modes to Japan. We didn't talk about that. But what I think is important is the synergism of these individuals who are part of these trade commissions. And would you believe I'm going to take credit for the grass seed in China way back before we'd even begun, because we flew there, we worked there, you know, we always marketed the entire of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about earlier when I saw those pictures, I said, you know who did that? Evergreen, we did it when we were working there so many missions, because, you know, if we get the product moving, transportation has a job. And so it's pretty incredible. And I also want to mention the importance of working with our colleges and universities. In Africa, Northwest Medical Teams was very beneficial. They gave me some 1 or 2 billion pounds of vegetable seeds that a Northeast supplier had. And they said, Donna, what do you want to do with these? And so I worked with the continent of Africa and Dr. Abraham Samba, and we were able to use USAID, and those seeds then went to every university, you know, on that continent of Africa. There's no reason they don't grow vegetables there, you know? And so working with individuals, you know, at the schools, now they all have prototypes of the how-to, kind of like our extension officers that John's worried about, officers. So I just think there's a lot of synergism from working with, you know, with our colleges, our universities, as well as our private businesses. And lastly, I want to mention the fact that, you know, we're missing in Washington, D.C. It's the greatest, you know, marketplace on earth is, you know, Washington, D.C. And I recall with Evergreen, with my office there, we, you know, pleaded many times, why doesn't someone from, you know, the state of Oregon come live in our office and work with us? Because you have, you know, the entire world coming to Washington, D.C., just like New York. And so I want to encourage us, when we talk about economic development, let's partnership with the individuals here on our list. I don't know them as well as I used to, because when I retired from the board of Evergreen, but I know Sho DeZono, for example, and I know that there are individuals here, the Nikes and Intels and all, who have offices back there that we could share and, you know, market their product to that great trade delegation. And, you know, it's a great money-saving activity. We talk about offices, and I know because I had over 200 in foreign nations, but the cost of travel really goes down when you're right there in the heart, you know, of all those agents, you know, those governments and businesses coming to Washington, D.C. and New York. So I just want to suggest that we think in those terms of where's the customer and what's an economical way to get to them. And I did work on that beef project. I want you to know that I was one of the first ones working, because we also, you know, we're chicken shippers, horse shippers, bull shippers, you know, with our cargo fleet. So that was just a natural for Evergreen. I'm just showing you how aviation and a product, you know, get together. And so we pushed on it. And now we're in the nursery business, so we likewise push on that.
All right. That's a good comment. And any other questions? Anything you'd like to share? No? All right. And thank you very much for presentation, and Mr. Hobbs. You mentioned that we have that the trade mission coming from Korea.
Yes.
The buying mission. And I invited them this coming Wednesday. So they are going to come to my office and hopefully to the chamber. And we will have the chance to meet them, hopefully. And then concerning the trade mission, I'm organizing a trade mission to Asia after the session is over. So sometime maybe this fall, and that the members of this committee and plus other members, we are going to have a legislative that the trade mission. I hope you can join us at the time. And also cross seed is one of the best products in the world from our state.
Absolutely.
So and we are going to hear that issue also. So with that, thank you very much for presenting from the Mari and Dalton. And next week, Monday, we will look at the Oregon lottery issue. And then Wednesday, what is it?
We have a couple of bills set for Wednesday, and then we're also going to be hearing from the local county economic development people.
Okay, and then we don't have a meeting on Friday next week.
No meeting Friday.
So that the Jim Stembridge, you are working with us, and also the what other committee?
I'm working with Representative Nelson's Veterans Affairs Committee.
Is that right? So you are too busy, and we are too.
But we need those jobs.
So we are going to give you a little more time to breathe on next Friday, so there will be no TNE meeting on Friday. With that, and the meeting stands adjourned until Monday next week.